Dr. William Luther Pierce on The Meaning of Democracy, 1996.
Hello. As November approaches, the controlled news media are focusing the attention of Americans more and more on that quadrennial ritual of our democracy, choosing a new maximum leader to occupy the big white fortress on Washington's Pennsylvania Avenue for the next 4 years. They're working hard to make us all breathless with excitement, trying to guess whether it'll be Bill or Bob. But my guess is that the winner this time will be none of the above by a wide margin. Which is to say, I believe that we'll see more qualified voters staying away from the polls than actually voting for either candidate this time. That'll be a continuation of an already well-established trend. But the characters of the two candidates this time, or rather the all-too-evident lack thereof, will give a big boost to that trend. I should confess right now that I have an essentially bottomless contempt and loathing for Mr. Clinton. I believe that he should be given a speedy public trial and then publicly hanged for treason. It is a disgrace to every citizen of our republic that we are governed by a system which permits men like Clinton to hold any sort of public office. I'd as soon see O.J. Simpson in the White House as Bill Clinton. Clinton is a man who during the Vietnam War counted as his personal friends, people who were doing everything they could to aid the communist enemies of America. He partied and smoked dope with these people while the communists were killing 58,000 American soldiers. He collaborated with the same people after the war, too. One of his closest advisors during and after the 1992 presidential election was David Ifshin, a Jewish friend from the Vietnam War days who went to Hanoi and made radio broadcasts for the communists, urging American soldiers to turn their guns against their own officers. Ifshin was frequently invited to the White House by Clinton and was consulted on matters involving Jewish political support. Back in Arkansas, before he came to Washington, Clinton partied with and accepted money from drug dealers and other common criminals. Clinton's own brother is a convicted drug dealer who used to run his drug business right out of the governor's mansion in Little Rock when Bill Clinton was governor of Arkansas. While he was governor, Clinton used his office to extort sexual favors from female state employees. He used state police officers as procurers. Clinton is the sort of man who 100 years ago would have been publicly horsewhipped, tarred and feathered, and ridden out of town on a rail if he weren't hanged. We simply didn't tolerate his sort of filth. He is a scoundrel, a cad, a reprobate, a louse, a dastard, a wretch, a poltroon, a lowlife, a degenerate, and a barefaced liar as well as a traitor to his country. And what do the voters have as an alternative to this charming piece of filth with a boyish smile? Why, they have Bob Dole. Now, Mr. Dole has quite a different personality from Mr. Clinton. Mr. Dole never dodged the draft or demonstrated on behalf of the Viet Cong or palled around with drug dealers or sent aides on the government payroll out to scout up whores for him. Does that mean that he would make a better president than Clinton? The answer, unfortunately, is no. And the reason is that, despite all their differences in personality, Mr. Clinton and Mr. Dole have one very important thing in common. They both have based their whole political careers on subservience to Jewish interests. With Clinton, this catering to the Jews is especially obvious, because he is in the media spotlight. Clinton has appointed a higher percentage of Jews to important positions in his administration than any other American president, including even Franklin Roosevelt and Lyndon Johnson. Clinton has put a Jew in charge of our Treasury Department, a Jew in charge of our Agriculture Department, a Jew in charge of our Commerce Department, a Jew in charge of our Labor Department. He has put our Central Intelligence Agency entirely in the hands of Jews, with Jews in the top three CIA positions. He is the only president who has ever put two Jews on the 9-judge Supreme Court. And he has appointed literally hundreds of Jews to less visible but still very influential positions in his administration. He has appointed Jews to high public office at a rate more than 10 times their percentage in the U.S. population. Clinton has made all of these Jewish appointments because he, like every other politician in Washington, understands that no one can be elected president if the Jews, with their control of the media, oppose him. Most politicians, however, despite their understanding of Jewish media power, exercise some degree of restraint in licking the Jews' feet. They would be embarrassed to overdo it, but not Bill Clinton. He is so accustomed to being a crook and getting away with it just by flashing his smile that he has lost all sense of shame and all caution. He is a man who will do anything to advance his political career because he is convinced that he can get away with anything. Should that be surprising in a man who dodged the draft and supported the Viet Cong in the 1960s and 1970s, and now pretends to be a patriot who is defending America from Saddam Hussein? Should it be surprising in a man who was immersed in the drug culture while he was working his way up in Arkansas politics, taking big donations from drug racketeers, and now claims to be fighting an all-out war against drugs? Should it be surprising in a man whose friends, family members, and former business associates have been convicted of felonies in record numbers? A man, in other words, who has associated with felons throughout his career and who now claims to be seriously concerned about America's crime problem? Now, Bob Dole, on the other hand, is not the sort who believes that he can steal your wallet, seduce your daughter or your wife, and blow marijuana smoke in your face, and then charm you into voting for him anyway. Bob Dole knows that he couldn't charm his way out of a parking ticket. Bob Dole is one of the most uncharming politicians in Washington. He is dull, dull, dull. It's embarrassing to watch him campaign and pretend to be alive. Bob Dole is a man who serves the Jews not because he's a crook who believes that he can get away with anything like Clinton, but because he knows that he could never hope to advance his career under his own steam. He has gained the Jews' support by being an errand boy for them throughout his Washington career. Dole will, just like Clinton, get America involved in another war in the Middle East if the Jews tell him to. He will no more solve America's immigration problem than Clinton will, because he knows that the Jews don't want it solved. He won't move radically against crime or drugs or America's declining educational standards. He won't do anything that he's not told to do. Clinton is the Jews' Tweedledum, a bit to the left of what they define as the center. Dole is their Tweedledee, a bit to the right of what they define as the center. What I'm saying, in other words, is that despite their big personality differences, and despite the fact that Dole talks a more conservative line on economic and social issues than Clinton, there's no real difference between the two men on the most important and fundamental issues because they both take their orders from the same men behind the scenes. But the voters don't know that. That's what's really depressing. You see, the average American voter only knows what he sees on television. That's where he learns everything he thinks he knows about politics and the world. Now, the Jews who control television certainly aren't going to tell the voters that Clinton and Dole are both in their pockets. But they have let the voters know that Clinton is a draft dodger, that he is being sued by an Arkansas State employee he tried to force to have sex with him when he was governor of Arkansas, and that many of his friends and business associates have been sent to prison. All of that has been so noticeable that it would have been hard to keep it away from the public's attention. And the average voter also knows that Dole is a war hero who doesn't pal around with convicted felons or extort sex from women. So far as the public is aware, Clinton is a crook and Dole isn't. But that doesn't seem to help Dole. The public prefers Clinton because he smiles more. What does that say about democracy? Now, to be fair, if one polls only white men, then Dole is preferred over Clinton by a few percentage points. But white women prefer Clinton by a substantial margin, simply because he projects a friendly, boyish image, and because the media masters clearly prefer him and portray him as a more fashionable candidate than Dole. Women always want to do what is fashionable, which is why normal, decent white people aren't able to outvote the members of the Clinton coalition, the queers and the feminists and the Jews and the moral cripples and the non-whites, despite the fact that we outnumber them. We aren't able to outvote them because as long as the controlled media are able to portray their candidate as more fashionable, our women will vote for him. That is tragic. But as I said, it doesn't really matter in the election that's coming up because both sides are controlled by the enemies of our people. What can we do about that situation? It is clear that most people prefer to do nothing. Even the majority of white men who reject Clinton for what he is still respect the system. They still respect the idea of democracy. They're willing to be governed by a crook, a liar, a filthy degenerate, and a traitor, if that traitor can win a majority of the votes. But I believe that the only reason most white men still respect the system enough not to rebel against it is that they don't fully understand the situation. They don't understand that the system has been secretly taken over by their enemies. They don't understand the decisive influence of the controlled news and entertainment media in determining the outcome of elections. They aren't aware that the media are, by and large, under the control of Jews. They don't read the Jewish community publications in which the Jews crow about the fact that Dole and Kemp are just as much their men as Clinton and Gore are, and that there's no way the Jews can lose the election regardless of whether the Democrats or the Republicans win. Most white men, in fact, haven't really assimilated the publicly known facts about Bill Clinton. Sure, they've heard the rumors about his drug-dealing cronies back in Arkansas, but the facts haven't really sunk in. When his brother went to prison for dealing cocaine right out of the governor's mansion, it made the headlines for a day. But most men have forgotten that because it didn't stay in the headlines and the controlled media haven't brought it up recently. Most white men would be surprised if you reminded them of that today. Or think about Clinton's activities during the Vietnam War. Most white male voters have heard about that, but just like the drug dealing, it hasn't really sunk in. Remember, while 58,000 young Americans were being slaughtered by the Reds, Bill Clinton was demonstrating for those Reds. Now, his apologists will tell you that was 25 years ago. And all of the trendy lefty people on the college campuses were doing the same thing back then. We should forgive him for what he did 25 years ago and let him get on with his present job of being commander-in-chief of the military forces he refused to serve with then and whose enemies he gave aid and comfort to then. Well, actually, it's not quite that simple. Bill Clinton was still entertaining his good Jewish friend and advisor, David Ishin, in the White House as late as last year, until Ishin became too ill from cancer to party. That's the David Ishin who went to Hanoi during the Vietnam War and made those radio broadcasts urging U.S. servicemen to shoot their own officers and come over to the communist side. It's David Ishin's good buddy who is now the commander-in-chief of our armed forces. Now, even the facts of the relationship between Clinton and Ishin aren't a secret. When Ishin died in April of this year, there were news articles about his career buried deep inside the New York Times and other publications. But it wasn't on television, and so 50 million Joe Sixpacks never had a clue. Even if it had been on television, they wouldn't have gotten the message. I mean, really absorbed the fact that their president was inviting a Jew to the White House who had made treasonous radio broadcasts for the communists during the Vietnam War and deliberately tried to incite mutiny and the murder of U.S. military officers. They wouldn't have absorbed and understood that message unless it had been repeated every night for at least 3 months on prime time, Watergate style. If it had been, I am sure that the polls would show heterosexual white males against Clinton about 10-1. Although his boyish smile probably would still win him the votes of most white women. The Jews who control our mass media understand mass psychology and the manipulation of public opinion better than anyone else, and they know that they don't really have to run a tight conspiracy in order to maintain their grip on the American political process. They don't have to keep all of their shenanigans a secret. All they have to do is control most of what the boobs see and hear. And of course, make sure that both candidates are in their pockets so that it really doesn't matter too much which way the boobs vote. The Jewish media bosses would rather have Clinton than Dole because Clinton serves them willingly, while Dole serves them because he has to. But it really doesn't make a great deal of difference to them. It's one of those heads they win, tails we lose propositions. Anyway, as I said, all of this hasn't really sunk in, even among that half of the white males who despise Clinton. If it had sunk in, or I should say, when it finally does sink in, then they'll be ready to do something about the system itself. They'll be ready to clean out all the filth and not just the figurehead at the top. Now, I know that there are pessimists listening today who believe that the average white male never will understand what's going on, never will wake up, never will raise a hand against the system because he's too stupid, too selfish, too cowardly, and all too often just as much a slave to fashion as his women. But I am an optimist. I know that more people are awake today than ever before, and I know that more people are waking up every day. I get letters from them, and I see what's happening to the society around me. I can see the growing rottenness, the growing corruption in every phase of our lives. The divorce statistics, the abortion statistics, the suicide statistics, the drug and alcohol abuse statistics. I can see it on the streets of our cities. I can see it in the sort of television people watch. Things are falling apart. The center isn't holding. Other people see this too. Even if they don't study the statistics, they can feel what's happening. Our civilization is dying. Our culture is being killed. Honor, morality, nobility, those are all things of the past now. What we have in their place now is Jewish democracy, Jewish equality, Jewish diversity and multiculturalism, Jewish crookedness and deceit and degeneracy in every aspect of our lives. And people think about the future their children will face in this increasingly Jewish world. And even though they haven't yet figured out who's responsible for what's happening, who's pulling the strings, who's controlling the politicians and the system, rage is beginning to build in them. Rage against whoever has destroyed their children's future. Rage against anyone who has collaborated with the destroyers. Rage against the system which has implemented the destruction. That rage will continue to grow because the process of destruction will continue. It will grow until it overcomes timidity. It will grow until it overcomes selfishness. It will grow until it no longer can be restrained, until no amount of television brainwashing can keep it under control. Our job is only to provide some understanding, to provide some direction. Thanks for listening today.